Andrea Mooney will now share our scripture with us.
From the book of Luke, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord."
And now, before my message, we're going to hear a song called "I'll Go Tell Elizabeth," performed for us by Christopher and Belinda.
She'll understand. I'll go
Two women, unexpectedly pregnant. One too soon, one too late. One not yet married, the other long past her childbearing years. They were cousins, but separated by age and distance. Mary lived in Nazareth in Galilee. Elizabeth lived in the hill country of Judea, close to Jerusalem. But in their surprise pregnancies, Mary and Elizabeth found community in each other. They found the support and strength and love they needed. We're told that Elizabeth had been in seclusion for about 6 months, staying home and out of sight, as women did in those days when they were pregnant. And then Mary showed up. And when Mary entered her house, Elizabeth's baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth knew. The baby inside of her and the Spirit of God let her know this was the one, the mother of her Lord, the baby, her Savior. And she cried out her blessings. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard your voice, my baby leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by God. Can you just imagine what Elizabeth's words must have meant to Mary? She hadn't told Elizabeth anything yet. She hadn't told her about Gabriel. She hadn't told her about being pregnant. Elizabeth just knew. Elizabeth confirmed what was happening, and Elizabeth blessed her. She blessed her faith, her trust in God, and her willingness to believe what the angel had told her. And she blessed her baby, proclaiming him as Lord. Elizabeth gave Mary the affirmation she so much needed. What she had experienced was real. What she believed was happening was real. Elizabeth heard Mary, and she recognized what God's Spirit was doing in Mary's life. That's what our spiritual community does for us. Sometimes our immediate family and long-term friends may not be able to understand when God's doing new and different things in our lives. They may be stuck in seeing us as who we used to be. But our spiritual friends, our faith community, are our fellow pilgrims on our journeys. They're the ones who discern the Spirit in our lives. They can recognize when God is at work in us. And they affirm and bless us as we try to say yes to God. We need each other's encouragement. We need each other's wisdom. And we need the love and blessings we can give each other as we try to live into what God is doing in us. God's Spirit does not leave us alone. The Spirit gives us spiritual friends and the community we need to go forward. Just as the Spirit did with Elizabeth and Mary. As she received Elizabeth's love and blessing, Mary's heart was filled with joy. She wasn't alone. She wasn't crazy. This was real. So Mary bursts forth into her song, the song we know as the Magnificat, because that's the first word in Latin. In English, we say, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. My soul magnifies the Lord. It's a phrase from the Psalms, a term for praising and rejoicing in God. In Bible study, Meg Gillard has helped me hear this phrase because she says, we can see that Mary's yes to God, Mary's willingness to become pregnant with this special child was going to magnify God. People's understanding of God was going to become bigger because of this baby, God's presence was going to become so much more. God's reality and impact was going to burst forth in new and greater ways. When we talked about this at Bible study, Meg talked about loving magnifying glasses as a child. She and her big brothers would take a magnifying glass and focus the sunlight on a piece of newspaper, intensifying the heat until finally the newspaper would start to smoke and burst into flames. I'm seeing a few smiles and nods of heads. Some of the rest of us have done this too, Meg. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, you know, maybe magnifying God isn't just about making God's bigger. Maybe it's also about making God's spirit more focused, more intensely present, until the flame of God's love and light glows within us. The spirit became focused and present in this baby, Mary's child, Son of God, the Word made flesh, the true light coming into the world, the light shining in the darkness that the darkness cannot overcome. Mary's yes allowed that to happen. Mary's song echoes with the songs of the Old Testament, the Psalms, the words of the prophets, the song of Hannah learning that she's going to have a son, Samuel. Mary magnifies and praises God's greatness, God's holiness, and God's mercy, and God's Spirit moving in the world to bring justice and hope. God has shown strength and has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their hearts. The older translations say, in the imaginations of their hearts, which I've always loved. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Mary's song amplifies the hopes and the shouts of the oppressed, of all those who long for justice. This is a song of reversals. The proud brought down and the lowly lifted up. The hungry fed and the rich sent away empty. This is a vision of good news for the poor, the hungry, and the have-nots of the world finally getting their share. This is a day of jubilee, a day of redistribution, of restoration, of making right all that is unfair and unjust and wrong in this world. The world turned upside down. Mary's song sung today would envision Native Americans restored to their lands and the children of African slaves receiving reparations for their labors and for years of discriminations. Mary's song would sing of a society where the lives of the poor and working class people are the measure of our economic well-being, not the stock markets, not the S&P 500. Mary's song would sing of a country where people being hungry and homeless and millions unemployed and facing eviction is a crisis that has government leaders responding immediately, not quibbling about how to maximize their political advantages. The poorest communities would be getting top quality health care. The poorest nations and poorest peoples getting COVID vaccines as soon as the most powerful. Have you seen it? It's already happening. Rich people trying to buy their way to the front of the line to get vaccines. Mary's song would have the poorest and most vulnerable among us be those who matter the most. Can we let our imaginations, our hearts, our souls sing with Mary? Can we dare to hope and trust this vision is still in God's heart today? Can we believe that God is always at work to bring justice and righteousness and kindness to all people? But what about the rich, the powerful? Does this vision mean that God's going to punish them by sending them away forever? I don't think so. I think there is a severe mercy here for those who are caught in pride in the imaginations of their hearts, those who think so much of themselves, those who are captive to their riches and their privilege, because their redemption, their salvation is in this vision too. We have to let go of our pride to experience love. We need for our self-sufficiency and self-importance to be scattered. We need to be humbled, because only then can we realize our need for God and for each other. We have to know we're empty before we can possibly receive mercy and love. We were all made for love, made for each other and made for God. And without love and connection and community, we are empty. We are nothing. I'm sentimental and I love the Christmas classics. Choose your favorite. A Christmas Carol, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life. All of these are fables that show us this same truth. Ebenezer Scrooge, the Grinch, Mr. Potter, they're all rich and powerful, but they're also miserable and lonely. The rich sent empty away. They have the things of the world, but they do not have love. So they are truly empty. They matter to no one. No one will miss them when they're gone. It's Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim. It's the Who's in Whoville and George Bailey and his family and friends who have what money cannot buy. They have each other. They have community. They have love and great joy. When I think of the power of community and radical love, I often think of Father Gregory Boyle and Homeboy Industries in L.A. For more than 30 years, they've been loving gang members back into hope and life. Father G has thousands of stories he tells about those who have been abused, neglected, forgotten, condemned, and incarcerated, finding their way back to life through the power of love in their community. And he also has some funny stories to tell about famous and powerful people who show up there sometimes and find themselves brought low a little bit, restored to their real, authentic place in the human family. He writes of different incidents. The time Al Gore, coming straight from the airport to Homeboy Industries, saw what he thought was a bathroom and popped in, just to take care of things before he tried to greet people, leaving everyone who knew what the room was kind of groaning and laughing, because it was a bathroom. It was a bathroom for the daycare center with a couple of those tiny little toilets that are barely off the floor. And there was the time Diane Keaton was brought by a supporter to have lunch at the Home Girls Cafe. Her waitress, not long out of jail, was taking her order and didn't seem to know who she was, and then paused and said, "Wait a minute, I think I know you." Diane Keaton, of course, starts to demur, you know, assuming she knows her, but trying to say, "Well, I have kind of a familiar-looking face." And then the girl says, "I know, we were locked up together. I knew you in prison." And then Father G tells a story on himself, speaking in a juvenile detention center. Afterward, a girl asked him, "Have you heard of Homeboy Industries?" "Well, yes," he said. He'd only mentioned it 5 or 6 times in his little message. And she said, "Have you heard of the book Tattoos on the Heart? It's really good. You should read it." "Well, yeah," he said. "That's me. I wrote that book." "You did not." "Yes, I did." He pulls out his card to show her his name. "You did not." And she walked off, shaking her head in disgust. All of us, Father G says, need to be reminded of where we belong. The least and the lost, the rejected, lifted, and those who might think a little too much of themselves, brought down, one with everyone else. All of us part of the human family. This year, as we find ourselves maybe singing alone or with just a couple others in our homes, we can think about Mary and Elizabeth. These two were brought together by God's Spirit because God knew the strength and support and love they needed to deal with their surprising and unexpected purposes that God had for their lives. They found community in each other. Elizabeth blessing and affirming Mary, Mary singing and magnifying God. In the isolation and separation of this COVID Christmas, like them, we are joined together, joined in love and community with God and with each other. We are in this together. I find myself thinking, I don't know how people are getting through this time who don't have a community like the one we share. And I believe there are many people around us that need us to try to share with them the love we are finding. God's Spirit calls us into community with each other, to be spiritual friends who support and love each other, who encourage each other when it gets hard and lonely and sad, and who remind and affirm the ways God is working in our lives and in our world. We are here to bless each other, to strengthen each other, and we are here to magnify God, to praise and rejoice in the ways God is always working for good, and to allow our lives to be magnifiers of God's light and God's love. To make God's presence a little bigger in our community. To make God's love more real in someone else's life. Like Mary, we too can magnify God, each of us in our own unique ways, focusing God's light and love, letting the fire of God's Spirit burn in us, finding our special ways to live into God's vision of love and justice for all. Amen.